This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for your home, auto, or commercial business needs at pncinsurance.net.
Three o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Later this hour, Ben Fennell of The Athletic will join us. Go in the film room with him, break down last night's loss to the Seahawks, but joining us right now to talk a little bit about that, this is our Green Bay football insider, Gary Ellerson from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Ryan Wood, how are you this afternoon,
like
Woody?
I like Woody.
You guys are already laughing at me. I haven't even said anything.
Oh, no, because Gary got the Muskego was leaving to do the state championship, and they had the whole city out there. They got sirens going and everything. Gary's letting us.
Well, they have a police escort for the
Muskego. Fire station escort, cuz.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
They got like 2-3 fire stations out there. Speaking of fire stations, Woody, is there a big fire going on right now at 1265 Lombardi?
Sorry, say that again. You gotta forgive me. I'm in the middle of an airport.
Oh, you're in the airport. Where are you, buddy?
I'm in Seattle. I'm about to board.
Okay, well let's get this quickly. Mike McCarthy yesterday. They talked about why didn't he go forward on the was it 4th and 2? Then they talked about the challenge that they didn't challenge. And then we saw Mike do the interview afterward. Just didn't look very well. And then we saw listen to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers says, well, because we didn't have Randall Cobbs, Ronnie Moore, Allisons, that's why, these young guys don't know where to go. But it seems to me that also Rodgers missed a lot of receivers that were open that he decided not to throw to. Now what we're trying go ahead.
Not only that, I was going to say, when he did throw on 3rd and 2 to the rookie receiver who was in a place where a good throw gets him a first down, I mean, that was as bad of a throw, given the circumstances, I can ever remember Aaron Rodgers making. I don't know if you guys talked about this at all, but in the press box, I couldn't remember ever seeing Aaron Rodgers miss a throw that was so easy, so badly. I mean, it was like a Chris Paul bounce pass. It was like five feet short. And it's an easy first down. Aaron Rodgers said himself, 100 out of 100, he should make that. The ball stuck to his hand. I get it. That happens. But in that moment, I mean, that I can't remember Aaron Rodgers ever making a worse throw than that.
Stevie?
Let's talk about Aaron Jones, because the one thing we talked about, whether or not they'd abandon him at some point in this football game, it feels like they abandoned him in the second half after he was a key to their first half success. And we talked about earlier, is this on Rodgers? Is this on McCarthy? Gary and Leroy said it's probably a little bit on both of them. What do you think?
Well, I think it's on both of them for sure. I mean, the unknown is, because we know that Aaron Rodgers has tremendous latitude at the line of scrimmage. The unknown is what plays are checked out of, what the play call is. But I thought where they abandoned him wasn't against the run, because the Seahawks, which entered the game ranked 17th against the run, so not your dominant Seahawks run defense, they played Aaron Jones very, very well against the run. But he was wide open the entire second half. Nobody was covering him. 33 was surrounded by nothing but open field. And time and again, Aaron Rodgers, just for whatever reason, didn't see him, didn't go his way. When he watches the film, he's going to see 33 surrounded by nobody. So I could understand them not trying to just continue to go with the run game that wasn't working. But it's not about carries with Aaron Jones. It's about touches. You saw him get three catches for 61 yards on that 75-yard touchdown drive before the half. He's a developmental receiver, but when nobody is covering him, he's a professional football player. You just get him the ball, dump it off, let him do work. That happened time and time again in the second half. So yeah, I thought they abandoned him as a receiver. They abandoned him as a playmaker more than just a runner, and that was, I think, pretty hard to stomach.
Hey, Ryan, real quick, because I know you got bored of fly bar. Kyle Facker to me, man, I'm going to tell you something. He put a decision – do you even bring back Matthews, or do you even bring back Nick Perry, or should I just calm down with my enthusiasm?
No, that's the big question. I asked Kyler Fackrell point blank in the locker room after the game, is this sustainable? And, I mean, he obviously thinks it is. He wouldn't be where he is if he didn't. But it was stunning. I mean, that's as stunned as I've been in a long time with a player's emergence, because I think everyone had written Tyler Fackrell off. And even when he had three sacks against the Bills, it was kind of, okay, it's at home against a rookie quarterback. That was the deer in the headlights. It's more fluke than you know, legitimate. Last night was nothing fluky about it. He wrecked that game. I mean, he was all over the place, not just as a pass rusher, but he's always kind of had that athleticism to be a run and chase guy. He can make plays across the field, which is really what Mike Pettine wants in an outside linebacker, a guy that can wear many hats. So, yeah, I mean,
Gary said it reminded him, and I think he's spot on, it reminded him of Bryce Pop. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Bryce Pop.
No, you're dating me now. No.
Yeah, Bryce Pop, man.
You don't know who Bryce Pop is?
Well, no, he's just a baby. Yeah, he's just a baby. But the guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What makes Nick Perry and Clay Matthews expendable is not Tyler Fackrell.
No.
It's that whatever they do, they have got to overhaul that edge position, period, this spring. Free agency, draft, all of the above. Mm-hmm. They have got to overhaul that position. It's the number one position that they have to overhaul. I'm not saying that you don't re-sign Clay Matthews. If it were me, I would think about re-signing Clay Matthews on the right deal to play off-ball. I think he can be a fine off-ball linebacker. What he isn't is your number one edge rusher for any team. Any team that wants to win a championship, he is no longer your number one edge rusher. But he's still a fine football player. He does some good things. You saw the first play last night. He had a very fine forced fumble on a run defense. I think as an off-ball guy, a guy that can still blitz from an off-ball position, do a lot of things, on the right deal, I think he absolutely could be back. It's just that those two are now no longer top edge rushers based off production. Tyler Fackrell, I think he's earning himself a spot in the rotation next year, but regardless of what he's doing, they have to overhaul that position in the draft and free agency. Brian Gutekunst has to throw all the tools at his disposal at making that position better.
All right, last one. I know you got to get going. So your overall gut feeling is Mike McCarthy done this year? And if you say yes, what kind of coach they need to come in then to coach Aaron Rodgers?
It's heading that way. I still look at it as we're in the middle of a move where we don't know how it ends yet. We have to let it play out, because the season isn't over. Now, what's not going to happen, they're not firing Mike McCarthy in the middle of the season.
No, that's not.
Anyone that thinks that an interim head coach is going to fix what's going on doesn't understand football. That's not firing him would be ending the season. It would be surrender. They wouldn't magically make this ride to the playoffs without Mike McCarthy. That's just the reality. But if they miss the playoffs, I mean, here's the writing's on the wall because of this. He's got 1 year left on his contract. It's 2019, and it's either fire him or it's extend him, because you don't want to do this again. You don't want to be in a lame duck situation again. It doesn't work, and the reason you know it doesn't work is because here we are in the middle of November talking about whether he's going to be the coach next year. So they have to avoid that. So not only do they need to extend him if they're going to keep him, it needs to be more than 1 year. They need to give him a multiple-year extension if they are, in fact, going to keep him, to avoid him being a lame duck coach again. Have you seen anything that would suggest that they're in a place to give Mike McCarthy a multiple year extension?
No.
And that's what they'd have to do. So, yeah, I mean, the season's not over. So it's not time to say Mike McCarthy won't be the coach next year, because they could find something like they did in 16, and with that quarterback, they can absolutely make a magical ride. And if they get to the NFC title game, if they get to the Super Bowl, I'm not saying that there's at all a high chance of that happening with how they're playing, but there wasn't in 16 either, right? So, yeah, I mean, if that something like that happens, would they bring Mike McCarthy back? Would they give him multiple years? Maybe. But it's just not looking very likely at this point.
That's our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood. Find his work in the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here on The Big Show. Safe travels, my friend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, take care, guys. Have a good weekend.
He joins us on the great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.